Our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 8. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look them square in the eye. Amen. They need to know that it's you looking at them and nobody else. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
do you know
how blessed
you are. Neighbor,
neighbor,
do you know
how blessed
you are. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Do You Know How Blessed You Are?" We have to look at something. We have to see why Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus. This was a church that Paul preached and taught in for roughly 3 years, plus or minus. And now Paul, we know, is in Rome, waiting to go before Nero. He truly knows for a fact that he's going to be executed. But it was on his mind to write these words to this church at Ephesus that he spent 3 years preaching and teaching the gospel. Because he wanted them not to forget how blessed they were. You see, my brothers and sisters, what can happen to us if we're not careful is that when we see where we started and we see how far God takes us, we can forget how we got there. We can start patting self on the back rather than continuing to praise the one who has made it all possible for us. So what Paul wanted to do was to let the folk know in Ephesus, y'all cannot forget how blessed you are. And when he starts this off in verse number 8, he wants them to understand something that he says at the end of the verse that we have to all get. What we all have through our salvation is a gift. You and I have received a gift. And what we have to understand, it was given to us. Not because we were all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. It was given to us. But let's talk about the folk first in Ephesus. You see, when Paul went there, because these were Gentiles who were polytheistic, which means they believed in multiple gods. Oh, yeah. They believed there was a God over the air, over the earth, over this, over that. So they had that and they worshiped idols. And when Paul comes along, Paul brings them a monotheistic view, saying that there's one God, one faith, one baptism. He wanted them to understand that God is one and there are not multiple. And he wanted them to realize that. And once they grasped the concept and gave their lives to Christ, they came to realize they are how blessed they were. Because while they were living in a manner which wasn't pleasing in the sight of God, that God was showing them grace that they did not understand. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know grace didn't arrive once we were saved? Grace was already here.
And God is giving you and I an opportunity to come to him so that we can understand the grace that we receive. The sad thing is when folk leave this earth without knowing Jesus and didn't realize that they were given grace all along to make the change in their lives. And now that we have made the change, we understand that in order for us to receive and embrace the grace of God, we had to receive it through what? Faith. Because we were saved through what? Faith. And in order for you and I to be anything in God, we have to move forward through faith. Don't you know that when you came forward to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that was you speaking in what? Faith. And from that point on, your life journey is a journey of faith. When you think about from whence you've come, and you look at where you are right now, some folk thought you were crazy for moving out the country and moving down to Richmond. Others thought you were crazy because you left the big city and came down to Richmond. Somebody gonna get it in a second. What you and I have to understand is that when we stepped out and did what God was calling us to do, some folk thought we were crazy. But in all actuality, all we were doing was stepping out on. You see, it is impossible to please God if you're not gonna function by. And in order for us to really understand how blessed we are and how far God has brought us, we realize that it was truly a journey of faith. You see, now what Paul here is making known to them, and what he says in verse number 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So we're saying that for us to be where we are, we have to be an active participant. But the way we participate is for us to get ourselves out the way and step out on. You see, because when you look with the naked eye will tell you it can't change. You see, because truth be told, before we came to the Lord, many of us tried to fix it ourselves. Many of us thought I was big and bad enough to do this and do that. Or, you know, I can get over this, I can get over that. And the more you tried to fix it, the bigger the hole you dug for yourself. You found yourself at the bottom looking up and say, I can still see a little light. How can this change? But I thank God that there was a little light. And that light is called Jesus. And when we saw the light, we called to the light, we embraced the light, we accepted the light. And look at us now. We are children of the... You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we look at what it took for us to get where we are, it took faith. Because the way he says in the end of that verse, he says, and this is not your own doing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care how you think you're all that. You ain't do it. There are no self-made Christians in God's house. You're not here because yes, I knew I needed the Lord, so I did this and I did that. I want us all to understand. It is not of your own doing. You didn't have God on your mind. God had you on his mind. And since God had us on his mind, he came looking for us. That's why Jesus said, I stand at the door and you see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord had been knocking on a lot of our doors for a long time before we opened. Other folk heard it and they opened right away. But then there was a lot of us. The Lord just kept on knocking. And now that he has knocked and we have opened, and now that we are his, we come to realize that the changes that have occurred in us was not something we could do on our own. And what we realized is that we needed some help in order to be where we need to be, to do what we need to do. And the only one who can make it possible, his name is Jesus. And when you see further in this verse, it's not of your own doing. You know why? Because of the fact that when we sin, we hit God in the heart.
That's right. Fell away.
Sin was not breaking the law. Sin is breaking God's heart. When you realize that, God bless you, when you realize who God is, you see, but when we was out there doing our stuff we were doing, we weren't thinking about God. We were thinking about ourselves. We didn't think about the one that created us from the dust of the earth. We didn't think about the one that provides for us day in and day out. We weren't thinking about the one who protected us from danger, seen and unseen. Some stuff out there that we done been through should have killed us. Some stuff should have took us out a long time ago. But I thank God that even when we weren't saved, he was showing us grace. You see, my brothers and my sisters, it's just that when we become saved is when we understand what grace really is. Grace is an unmerited gift that comes from God. God didn't give us what we deserve. He gave us just the opposite. Even when we was breaking his heart, the Father sent the Son in order to give us an opportunity to get right with the Father through the Son. That right there is what you call real love. Do you know that you are loved by God? You're loved so much by God that he gave the thing that was most precious to himself to give you and I an opportunity to make the change. That's why it wasn't of your own doing. It was a gift of God. And then I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get mad. Hear this. When you look at verse number 9, it says, not the result of your own works, that no one may boast. Now, let me help you understand something. As long as you think you can work your way into heaven, you worked your way to your salvation, you worked your way to becoming a deacon, you worked your way to becoming a trustee. You worked your way into becoming a preacher. You worked your way into becoming a leader in the church. You boasted on something that's a lie. Paul wanted the church in Ephesus to know. You didn't work your way to God. God made a way for you. And since the Lord did it all, don't you dare boast about who you are, what you are doing. If we gonna boast, we boast about what the Lord has done for us. How we were once lost and the Lord came and found us. How we were sick and the Lord healed us. How we were blind and the Lord gave us sight. How the Lord met us in the storm and brought us through the storm. If you're gonna talk about boasting, you're gonna boast on what God has done, because it had nothing to do with you other than you having enough faith to believe in him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, if you're gonna boast, you better boast about God and not about yourself. You know, the struggle with the church being able to be more impactful in the world is that the church has become so self-absorbed that when folk who are on the outside come in, we look at them sideways. We look at them wondering what you in our church for. Guess what? This ain't your church. And guess what? When you first came in there, folk were looking at you sideways. So since you saw what they did to you, you should have learned from what they've done and not do the same. Because you realize that it had not been for the Lord, where would you be right now? It's the Lord who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the Lord that came and got you about that pit you were in. It's the Lord that cleaned you up and put you back together again. It's the Lord that kept you in your right mind when you thought you was going to lose your mind. It's the Lord that healed and delivered you when you thought that nothing could change. Everybody else gave up on you, but look at you now. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what the Lord wants to know is that, do I have some folk who gonna boast about what I've done for them? Do I have some folk who gonna keep me at the center of all they do? Do I have some folk who are gonna continue to praise me through the storm? Do I have some folk who understand that my God is good and that he's good all the time? I'm gonna have some struggles. I'm gonna have some pitfalls. But through it all, I'm gonna say hallelujah anyhow, because my God is a good God. Do I got any witnesses who understand how good our God is? Do you know? Do you know, my brothers and sisters? All God wants to know is, do you know? He was sharing with Paul to get us to understand, do you know? Now, the interesting thing is, folk, Brother Chester, look at us now. How we're driving big brand new trucks, wearing nice suits. We are well manicured. We smell good. Deacon Jones, we even look good. You see, he said, that's right, huh? But can I let you in on a secret that's really not one? Look at verse 10. For we are what he has made us. In Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. If you stuck on just looking good, then you're just stuck. The Lord made us what we are in order to do good works in Christ. The biggest mistake we can make is when we come here wanting to look good, smell good, shiny shoes, and think that's what it's all about. No, that's just the evidence of how far God has brought us. Because there was a time when all you wore was a pair of holy shoes with a cardboard in the bottom. There was a time you used to spit shine your shoes and there still was some dirt on them. There was a time you couldn't wait. You had to wait almost 6 weeks before you can get another haircut. There was a time you just got so mad because you were the last one to get in that tub of water. And you saw all that stuff floating in it, but that's all right. I got to get in there. And come on now. But when you look at what God has done, when you look how far God has brought us, when you look at how he has remade us, when you look at how God has blessed us, I don't know how anybody can come in God's house and just sit there like he ain't done a whole lot for us. I want you to know God has done a whole lot for us. Do you know what he done for you? Do you know how far he brought you? Do you know how he's healed you? Do you know how he's turned you around? Do you know how he met you when you were nothing? Look at you right now, my brothers and sisters. Look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our... I tell you, we serve a mighty... Hold on now, hold on, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. There's a problem that still happens in the church. The problem is, let me speak about it metaphorically. All of us are instruments of God. Speaking metaphorically, say we're all different musical instruments. Could you imagine? Mother Austin, God called you to be a piano, but you want to sound like a guitar. You're laughing, right? God has called you and made you to be a drum, but you want to be a flute. The reason why folk get frustrated in church is because they're not letting God play them for what he's made. Oh. The problem is that if God made you to be a piano, ain't nobody gonna play you but God. But if you get mad because you're sounding like a piano, but God made you a piano, but you want to be a guitar, you are not even appreciating how blessed you are. If he made you a drum, why are you trying to sound like a flute? Oh, can we talk about this? See, now we ain't shouting no more. I don't know, Jennifer. Let me help you. What makes a church prosperous? Now, when you hear me talk about prosperity, it's not about money. It's about being successful in the gift you've been called to be. You and I have been made for something specific. And what God can't do is play you as a piano as long as you want to be a guitar. And then you wonder why you're in church frustrated, mad and angry at everybody. Woo. because of the fact that you don't sound like a guitar. You're not supposed to sound like a guitar. God plays you to be a piano. And the problem is that too many folk are walking around church saying, I want to be that. Why not just be happy with who you are? Check this out. God made you. Now, what he did was this. Think about what you were before you came to church. Think about how toe up from the floor up you were. Think about how zooted you used to get. Think about all the slipping and dipping you did and you're still here. And check this out. God saw you in what you were, Violet. And in spite of what he saw you as, he already saw you in what you are to become. And what God wants us to do is to be the best at what he has called us to become. Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Through us accepting Christ, we said, God, make me over. And what God did was make us over. And when he made us over, some folk are still mad because that's not what he wanted. That's not what we wanted. God knows your ability. God knows what he's called you to be. And he wants you to be what he's called you to be. Do you know how blessed you are? And I want you to understand, you'll never really move forward until you accept what God has called you to be. Y'all, I shared it with you, and you know it. I ain't never want to be no preacher. Didn't like them. Sister Mayo, I ain't like them chicken eating, jack leg, Cadillac driving. God's got a sense of humor, don't he? I do love chicken, but I don't drive Cadillac. But not that I got anything against a Cadillac. Don't get me wrong. But all I'm saying, this is not what I wanted to be. But this is what God has made me to be. And until I embraced what God made me to be, I was not comfortable. I felt like, you know how, sisters, y'all do this all the time. You know how you wearing them shoes? You wear them because they're cute. Brothers don't do that too tough. But sisters, come on now, be real with me. Them shoes are cute. They're the perfect shoes for the outfit. You wear them as long as you can walk, and then once you sit down, you just. Well, sisters, that's how I felt. That's how I felt. So uncomfortable until I answered the call. Until I said, Lord, I'll be what you made me to be. Once I embraced what God made me to be, then God took this big head dude and used him in New Jersey, took him from New Jersey, brought him down here to Virginia, and he's been using me ever since. And when I thank God and look at what God has done in my life, you see, that's not just my testimony. That's also your testimony. You are going to be uncomfortable until you allow the Lord to use you in what he's made you to be. Do I got any folk in God's house who do know how blessed you are because you allow the Lord to use you and how he made you to be? Because that's the only way you're truly going to be able to rejoice, is when you allow God to have his way and use you in what he made you to be. Do you know? Do you know how blessed you are? Can I give you this last part? The last part he says in here. Check this out. Verse 10 again, he says, for we are what he has made us, right? Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Now, this is the catch, y'all. Which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Do you realize God had a plan for you. And now that God had a plan for you, what God is saying, it was while you were still out there doing all that stupid stuff, while you were still out there breaking his heart, God still had a plan for you. He said, you know what? I'm going to bring you in. But but you're not ready yet for me to bring you. You see, there's some folk we've been praying for the Lord to bring home. But the Lord said they ain't ready yet. You see, because right now they got to go down a little bit further before they start looking up. You see, and the thing is, if we look at ourselves, wasn't that when the Lord called us? He called us when we were at our lowest and when we had nowhere to look but up. And when we looked up, we called on his name. He said, they're ready now. You see, my brothers and my sisters, so whatever God has made you to be, God already knows your past. God already knows all the stuff you've done, but he is still already going to use you and what he is going to make you to be when you accept Jesus Christ. So you think that you're not worthy to preach? Guess what? God said, yes, you are. You think you're not worthy to be this or that in the church? God said, yes, you are. Because it's not based on what you think, because God has already showed all of us grace in God's house, mercy in God's house. So all the people of God ought to be coming up in God's house praising and thanking him, because he didn't give us what we deserve. He gave us just the opposite. Do I got any folk in God's house who are excited that God gave us the opposite of what we deserve? You ought to be willing to praise him, thank him for what he's done. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who recognize and realize, I know how blessed I am. I know from where I've come. And when I look at where I am right now, I can't do nothing but give God all glory, honor, and praise. Go on and give three folk a high five and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. 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 I know who I am. I know whose I am. And I know how far he brought me. And I'm going to let God play me however way he wants to play me, because I know I am in good hands. Do I got anybody else who know you in good hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The reality of church, God needs more folk who are willing to trust him and what he has made you to become and move in what he has called you to be. He don't need more folk trying to tell them, I'd be a better guitar than I would be a piano. I'd be a better flute than I would be a drum. Really? Think about it. You came to the Lord because you tried your way and it didn't. Think about that. You came because you tried it your way and it didn't. So now that you've come to Jesus, and now that he has giving you a gift, how, excuse the term, in the hell are you going to have the audacity to tell God, that's not what I want to be? Did you hear that? Never thought about it that way, but don't it make sense? You already tried it. You came to the Lord because. So God is telling you this is the way he's going to use you. But you're going to tell him, that is not what works for me.